embattled Congressman Matt Gaetz.
Matt Gaetz was one of the very few members in the entire Congress who bothered to stand up against permanent Washington on behalf of his constituents.
Matt Gaetz right now, he's a problem for the Democratic Party, and he can cause a lot of hiccups in passing of laws. So we're going to keep running those stories to keep hurting him.
If you stand for the flag and kneel in prayer, if you want to build America up and not burn her to the ground, then welcome, my fellow patriots. You are in the right place. This is the movement for you.
You ever watch this guy on television? It's like a machine, Matt Gaetz.
I'm a canceled man in some corners of the internet. Many days I'm a marked man in Congress, a wanted man by the deep state.
They aren't really coming for me. They're coming for you. I'm just in the way.
Welcome back to Firebrand. We're broadcasting live out of room 2021 of the Rayburn House office building here on the Capitol Complex in Washington, D.C., and it was whistleblower testimony day today in the House Judiciary Committee. We had FBI whistleblowers with claims of misconduct and violations of the law and retaliation, security clearances stripped, lives ruined, and lies exposed. Lies that have been told by the media and the national security state. And FBI Director Chris Wray, Mary on Getter, says, where can I watch the whistleblower testimony? Because she was working when it was going on earlier today, and you have come to the right place, because the purpose of this show is to break down some of the game tape on what we learned, what has been debunked from the mainstream narrative, particularly regarding January 6th and the federal government's involvement. You will not want to miss some of the clips that we're going to play. So thank you for being with us. Make sure if you are listening that you give us that 5-star rating on Apple or wherever you're listening. Leave us a review. And if you're watching live, make sure you're subscribed with notifications turned on. That way you are always the first to know when we're rocking and rolling on key things here in the Congress. So the principal objective of this hearing was to showcase the extent to which political capture has taken over the FBI. And as a consequence of that political capture, Americans were targeted by a weaponized government who never should have been targeted. Traditional Catholics. Parents who went to school board meetings to voice concern about curriculum. People who were just in Washington, D.C. on January 6th, committed no criminal offense, but yet still found themselves in the FBI's crosshairs. So I asked specific questions to these whistleblowers. Steve Friend is one of the whistleblowers. FBI agent from Florida was working out of the Jacksonville field office. Then we had Marcus Allen, who was an analyst for the FBI, and Special Agent Garrett O'Boyle. Those are the three principal whistleblowers that we had today. Frankly, there were a lot more whistleblowers that we took testimony from and developed evidence from. But after Democrats and the mainstream media tried to smear them, ruin their lives, dox their kids, get their spouses fired from their work, even some of the brave people who've brought us important information do not want to sit before Congress. So these three, I really, really appreciate their willingness to put themselves on the line to do what they know is right for their country. And it's probably not a coincidence. They're all really strong Christians, and there is a sense of durability with the Christian faith that we saw on display with these men. So I want to play you this first clip. This is 5 minutes I get focusing on the issues of targeting with Agent Friend and then focusing on some of the retaliation issues with Agent O'Boyle. Take a listen.
So which Americans were being targeted? Now, August 2nd, 2022, a media organization attained a copy of a document which whistleblowers subsequently authenticated to the committee that is styled the FBI's Domestic Terrorism Symbols Guide on Militia Violent Extremists. Mr. Boyle, are you generally familiar with that guide?
Yes.
And that guide identified certain things that made people more likely to be deemed a threat or terrorists, didn't it?
Yes.
And wasn't one of those things just the number 2 and the letter A next to each other?
Yes, it was.
And in your experience as a law enforcement official, does putting the word 2 and or the letter 2 and A next to each other make someone more likely to be violent or law-breaking?
No.
And if someone signified the right that they support the right to bear arms, Was that also something in the symbol guide?
Yes.
And how about, this one really got me, the Betsy Ross flag. Was the Betsy Ross flag in the terrorism symbol guide?
It was.
And what about the Betsy Ross flag makes someone more likely to be a violent extremist?
I wish there was a reasonable explanation for that question.
There isn't. And people blew the whistle and said, this stuff is crazy. Americans are being targeted. Mr. Friend, you ever been to a school board meeting?
Yes, I have.
FBI ever sent you to the parking lot of a school board meeting?
Yes, they have.
And in the parking lot of a school board meeting where the FBI sent you, you were taking down information regarding people's license plates.
That's correct.
Now, it wasn't the first time you'd been to a school board meeting, was it?
No, I went on my own as a private citizen.
As a parent?
Yes.
And so there you were. It must have been quite an interesting perspective. There you were taking down the information of people, parents attending school board meetings on behest of the FBI. And you had been one of those parents at a school board meeting. How did that feel?
Well, after I attended privately, my colleagues teased me that they were probably going to start investigating me.
You used to go after the worst of the worst, didn't you?
Yes, I believe so.
You went after people who looked at child porn?
Yes.
People who were sexually exploiting children?
Yes.
And then you were in the parking lot of a school board meeting, taking down the information of parents. What happened to the cases that you were working to protect our communities from the worst predators that exist?
I was told they were not to be resourced. And then after I was suspended, they were handed off to local law enforcement.
Wow. So the FBI just decided it was more important to have you in that parking lot of that school board meeting than getting the worst of the worst away from people that they could harm.
That's correct.
But you deserve the consequences you are getting, according to the ranking member. Mr. O'Boyle, the ranking member said that when people break the law, they deserve the consequences they get. And it doesn't matter that they served in the military. So what law did you break before the FBI packed up all your stuff and moved it across the country to Virginia?
No true law. The only thing I broke was not towing the line for the FBI. Like I said when I opened, my oath is to the Constitution, not to the FBI.
And our laws provide you avenues to talk to Congress, to talk to your supervisors about those concerns, right?
Correct.
And so you didn't deviate from that, did you?
No.
You didn't go to the media first, did you?
No.
You used what the law provided, and your family has paid an exquisite price for that, haven't they?
They have.
How old were your children when they moved you across the country?
6, 5, 3... In 2 weeks.
A two-week-old baby. Could you get your stuff?
6 weeks later.
Oh, so for 6 weeks, almost every possession to your name, the FBI had and wouldn't give back to you. What time of year was it? Was it winter, summer?
When I reported, it was in September. So when we were traveling, it was summertime, essentially. So we had basically summer clothes, but then we were basically stranded in Wisconsin, which is where we're from. It gets cold there pretty quick.
And well, I'll take your word for it. I'm a Florida man. But what was it like when you had to go and explain to your wife that you didn't have coats for your children because the FBI wouldn't give them back to you?
It was horrible. I mean, we were asking family for clothes and... excuse me. It was a difficult time.
Yeah. You became a charity case, didn't you?
I did. And now I get derided for that. I never thought I'd have to accept charity in my life. I thought I would be able to take care of my family. But I'm grateful for everyone who has provided charity to me. That even includes a former colleague's church. I would name the church to give them recognition, but I'm too worried that the FBI would send informants to infiltrate that church as well.
Yeah. Well, they've already done that with the Catholics. I yield back.
We are back live. Garrett O'Boyle was powerful and emotional and earnest and honest. And in a moment, we're going to get to how these whistleblowers were treated by House Democrats. But first, Ed on Rumble says, save these whistleblowers. I thought they did a terrific job. And it is an intimidating thing to sit before the United States Congress and answer questions if it's not something you've been trained to do or familiar with. I thought they were exceptional. Cheryl on Facebook says, the FBI has been weaponized. Totally agree on that front. And Patriot Mom on Getter wants to know why our domestic terrorism law enforcement assets are not being directed at Antifa and BLM and are instead directed at parents at school board meetings, traditional Catholics, anyone in Washington, D.C. on January 6th. Wait till I get to the January 6th stuff. You're not going to believe the revelations that we've been able to uncover. But first, you have to see how some of these Democrats reacted to the raw, sincere, and I thought very effective testimony of our whistleblowers. Linda Sanchez is a particularly odious member of the United States Congress. She's a Democrat who, at the congressional baseball game, ran by the Republican dugout and flipped her middle finger to the Republicans. At the congressional baseball game. So she decides to utilize her time in this whistleblower hearing to try to smear Marcus Allen, one of the whistleblowers, and it ends humiliatingly for her. Take a listen.
Mr. Allen, have you ever used Twitter, yes or no?
I have utilized Twitter, yes.
Okay, and is your account at MarcusA97050645?
That is absolutely not my account.
Okay, that's not your account. Well, on December 5th, 2022, an account under the name Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said,
that
quote,
is not my account, ma'am.
You haven't let me finish the question,
sir.
You might
have been the football player.
You haven't let me finish the question. And the time is mine. On December 5th, 2022, an account under the name of Marcus Allen retweeted a tweet that said, quote, Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th, retweet if you agree, end quote. Do you agree with that statement? Yes or no?
No, ma'am. That's not my account at all.
I'm asking whether you agree with that statement, yes or no?
Can you please rephrase the statement?
Yeah. Do you think the gentlelady has expired? Staged January 6th. I just want him to answer.
He'll answer. Yeah, he'll answer. I'm just telling you your time's up.
Do you believe that Nancy Pelosi, do you agree with the statement that this person tweeted that Nancy Pelosi staged January 6th?
Yes or no?
Thank you.
We are back live, and for those of you who are listening to this podcast, I want to apologize that you had to hear the shrill voice of Linda Sanchez quite like that, but at least you didn't have to see her. Because for those of you watching right now on our streaming platform, I don't know whose idea purple hair and that lime green dress was, but woof. Now, imagine the stupidity to pull up a tweet that you don't even know that the witness sent and try to use that to impeach the witness. And it didn't like this guy has some incredibly uncommon name. His name's Marcus Allen. Like, there was a running back named Marcus Allen in the NFL. Maybe he sent the tweet. But we had to have a little fun with Linda Sanchez after this. Someone went out and created a Linda Sanchez 31399 account and tweeted, Donald Trump is the greatest president of my lifetime. And of course, I had to quote tweet that Congresswoman Linda Sanchez must answer for her tweet. I think it went pretty viral, got over a 250,000 views. But Linda Sanchez, be better. Don't make Congress look so bad that you're not even able to validate the identity of someone before attempting to impeach a patriot, by the way. And Marcus Allen, that guy you saw, two tours in Iraq. We'll get to that in a moment. Great guy. But I felt the need to allow Marcus Allen to respond to that attack from Linda Sanchez. And so I'm going to play a clip of one of the moments I had in the hearing. The beginning will be allowing Mr. Allen to share with the country what a patriot he is following that unfair attack. But then you're going to see a clip from George Hill. Now, I want to set this up for you. George Hill is working out of the Boston field office. And I just get the sense that you got a bunch of these kind of older Boston guys. And when these new age Washington know-it-all, beltway types start telling the boys in Boston that they've got to go and start criminal process against people who never even were at the Capitol in the absence of predication, well, there was pushback. And wait till you hear what the FBI field office in Washington said to the FBI field office in Boston about why they wouldn't give Boston the tapes. Take a listen.
Mr. Allen, we just astonishingly heard a Democrat on this committee question your allegiance to the United States. How many tours in Iraq did you do?
I did 2 tours in Iraq, sir.
And for how many decades have you held a security clearance?
For 2 decades, sir.
Ever been called into question before?
No, sir.
And you also received the Employee of the Year Award for the Charlotte Field Office, is that right?
That is correct, sir.
Did you receive any medals during your service for the Marine Corps and the United States Navy?
I did, sir. As a member of the Marine Corps, I received 2 a Navy Commendation Medal and a Navy Achievement Medal.
Seems to me your allegiance to the United States is pretty well established over multiple decades, wearing the uniform, fighting for our country, and I am proud that you continue to fight for our country as a whistleblower here, making a disclosure to the United States Congress. And Mr. Allen, is it your belief that you were retaliated against because you shared an email that questioned the truthfulness of FBI Director Christopher Wray?
Yes, sir.
And you believed that he wasn't truthful based on testimony he'd given to the United States Senate, isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And in that testimony to the Senate, you believed that Christopher Wray indicated that there were no confidential informants and no FBI assets that were present at the Capitol on January 6th that were part of the violent riot. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Please play the video. We're now going to hear from George Hill, who worked at the Boston field office.
The SSA in Boston said they were going to a political rally, which is First Amendment protected activity. No, we're not uploading. We're not starting cases on these people. To which they said, well, we're going to call your SAC. And the SSA said, go right ahead. Because when you're pushing back, you know, you want to make sure that you have your six covered. So the SAC and the ASAC were intimately aware of these kinds of exchanges that were going on. And again, to his credit, Joe Bonavolante said, no, we're not opening up cases on people who went to a rally. And I forgot a key part. The SSA for CT2 said, happy to do it. Show us where they were inside the Capitol and we'll look into it. To which WFO said, we can't show you those videos unless you can tell us the exact time and place those individuals were inside the Capitol. To which the SSA responded back, and I was privy to these conversations firsthand, why can't you show us, why can't you just send us, give us access to the 11,000 hours of video that's available? Because there may be UC's undercover officers or CHS's confidential human sources on those videos whose identity we need to protect.
So, Mr. Allen, you got retaliated against for the very thing, for saying the very thing that the Washington field office was telling Boston, when the Boston field office was saying, we're not going to go and investigate people that just showed up at a rally without sufficient criminal predicate. The Washington field office told Boston, well, you know what, we can't give you the evidence because it might disclose the very CIs and UCs that you are concerned about. But that doesn't surprise you, Mr. O'Boyle, does it?
No, sir.
And the reason it doesn't surprise you is that in a different part of the country, you saw that same pressure from the Washington field office. And did they ever try to get you to do something that was outside the normal order of law enforcement activity?
Yes, sir.
And what did the Washington field office try to get you to do that violated the law and regulations?
They tried to get me to serve a federal grand jury subpoena when there was no proper predicate to do so.
And the reason there was no predicate was because it was based on an anonymous tip, right?
That's correct.
And time and again, the Washington field office was trying to pressure you without corroboration to go start process on people. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
And so while I agree that January 6th was a violent day, a bad day, a day that nobody wants to relive, violence on January 6th doesn't justify weaponizing the government against people who were innocent and did nothing wrong. Thank you for blowing the whistle on that. I yield back.
We are back live. Homie Girl on Rumble says it is time to impeach Christopher Wray. I would not want to make the Wray impeachment defense argument, certainly not after we saw how these whistleblowers were treated and just the underlying bad conduct that has permeated Christopher Wray's entire tenure at the FBI. There may be more on that coming. Also, we've got Amy on Facebook telling me to do my job. We're working on it, Amy. Appreciate the feedback. Think about what you just heard there from George Hill. They wanted the Washington Field Office to provide videos. If the Washington Field Office wanted Boston to go open up criminal cases on people who allegedly were in Washington, D.C. or at the Capitol or committing crimes on January 6th. And when the Boston Field Office said, okay, well, like, give us the video for that, the Washington Field Office replied, we can't give you the video because it may expose confidential human sources and undercover federal agents. This is what we've been saying the whole time. That there were elements of the events of January 6th that included federal assets woven into some of these groups. And we're still investigating the extent to which any of those federal assets increased the level of criminal acuity. But we know they were there. And like, think about the arrogance of the Washington Field Office to tell these guys in Boston, hey, we want you to go put down the shoe leather to go and chase down a bunch of J6 subjects, but we don't trust you enough to give you the videos that might include our undercover officers and our confidential human sources. So the FBI not trusting the FBI. It is so fishy, and we learn more about it, and what we learn, I think, continues to vindicate what I've been saying the whole time about January 6th, and these whistleblowers know it, and it's one of the reasons I think they came forward. Now, it wasn't just George Hill who raised concern about videos seemingly showing people trapped unwittingly into some technical violation of trespassing law. It was also Marcus Allen. Take a listen.
Video to me indicated potential problems with the investigation as far as informants. We're concerned, and our organization's potential forthrightness about the utilization of informants there on that day that might have some impact on our cases and the subjects that we were looking up, and then just a general awareness overall for the investigation as a whole that there might have been some kind of potential federal involvement with the activities on January 6th. And I thought it was important enough that it like warranted our attention.
Yeah. Marcus Allen is an analyst. When there's video that shows that something ain't right, that there's a scaffold commander yelling at people to get in the Capitol, that there's this guy, Ray Epps, who appears to be like the Forrest Gump of January 6th, popping up at every key moment, that there's all kind of activity with the barricades that were seemingly taken down as folks were walking around the Capitol complex. It's really something that those videos weren't analyzed further, but at least there were people like Marcus Allen saying, we got to take a closer look at these things. And for him just raising that prospect, not defending the January 6th subjects, not siding with some sort of spirit of insurrection, that's always the word that Adam Schiff and Jamie Raskin like to misapply. No, he just wanted people to be aware, and for that, he was revoked from his security clearance, suspended from his job, left without pay, and unable to get outside employment because he's still technically an FBI employee, even though he's not getting paid, unable to make a living for his family for a year. That's Marcus Allen, American patriot, whistleblower, targeted by a weaponized Biden government. Gerardo Boyle also talked about this dynamic where the Washington field office wanted to create the sense that there was this great eruption of domestic terrorism and extremism all over the country as a consequence of January 6th, when the reality is the January 6th matter should have been one matter, if a matter at all, and if they wanted to evaluate subjects within that, those would be subjects within one matter, but instead, so that they could act as though there's this great threat of racism and white supremacy and extremism, they cooked the books and had individual cases opened on each of these individual folks who they wanted to target. Garrett O'Boyle brought attention to that ridiculousness. Take a listen.
As a DT agent, I encountered similar stat padding or case bolstering. Truth be told, it was one case. Like, but the FBI had me open up four different cases because they had me open a case for every individual that I had a articulable factual basis that there may have been potential federal law being violated. Where like on a criminal case, say you're working like a gang, which this case was, I guess, like a militia. If you're working like a gang, you have a case open on the gang and you have a subfile for each person in it. Like if, you know, John Doe 1, 2, and 3, they all have their own subfile. Where in my case, John Doe 1, 2, 3, and 4 all had their own separate case, because then the FBI can, from my perspective, the FBI can come back to Congress and say, look at all the domestic terrorism we've investigated. Where really I was working one case, but the FBI can then say, well, he actually had four. And so we need you to give us more money because look at how big of a threat all this domestic terrorism is.
That is an astonishing clip, because so many of these joint terrorism task forces were originally given resources and authorities to fight terrorists abroad, to go after radical Islamic extremists who wanted to destroy America. And over time, as Eric Holder and Barack Obama were converting the Department of Justice into a left-wing enforcement operation, well, then you saw the inward turning of many of those resources and authorities, and they were no longer going after Osama bin Laden or al-Baghdadi overseas. They were trying to say that your neighbor is a domestic terrorist because they fly a Trump flag and have a Make America Great Again hat. And that is wrong. And it is the function of a weaponized and politicized system. No one put it better than Garrett O'Boyle. Take a listen to this clip.
Do you believe that the FBI has become political?
I do. I think most people out in the field try to avoid that politicization of the agency, which is good, but it's gotten to a point, it seems to me, that it's like a cancerous point where the FBI has let itself become enveloped in this politicization and weaponization that I don't know how to even begin to fix it.
We're back live. Cancerous is exactly the way to describe it. And unfortunately, the cancer spreads even sometimes beyond Washington. There was one whistleblower who was so concerned about retaliation from the federal government for the sake of his family, retaliation by the media and Democrats. Not only did he not agree to come and testify today, he would not allow us to use some of the clips from his deposition to present to you and to present to everyone, but much of his testimony centered around what we call the Catholics memo. Now, this is a memo that came out of the Richmond Field Office. And the Richmond Field Office concludes that radical, racially motivated, violent extremists are going to show up at Catholic churches. And so they recommend that they have to go and infiltrate those churches, put people in them, gather intelligence, and oh, by the way, they have to do this in the time up to the election. That's the operative time period leading up to the election. So we hope to get that whistleblower a little more comfortable over time and to share more with you there. So I want to give a take on the Durham report. We get this 300-plus page report. I gave takes on it on Chris Plant's The Right Side. Make sure to check those out. They're on our Rumble channel. And I'm disappointed there weren't more indictments. Durham charges three people, gets a plea agreement on one, the FBI lawyer who changed evidence before a secret court. And Kevin Kleinsmith, that lawyer, is already back to practicing law in Washington, D.C. Think about that. No consequence for cheating before a secret court. Durham lost his other two cases and brought no further charges. I think it's incredibly disappointing. We will have Special Counsel Durham before the House Judiciary Committee on Thursday of next week, and I'll be right here with clips, analysis, and a plan forward. Thanks, everyone, so much for joining me. It is always a blessing to have you on Firebrand. Roll the credits.